We're going to go way out west now. The Western Derby is on this Saturday night, and I can't wait. It's going to be one of the better ones, I feel, with the resurgence. I mean, I can't believe we're saying that about the Eagles, but it feels that way, particularly after their win and their game before against the Swans as well. But the resurgent Eagles take it on the Dockers, who are in the top eight, and to preview it with us. Well, he's a two-time premiership star for the Eagles. He was everywhere. He kicked, he played 177 times and kicked 75 goals for the Eagles. But today, I think, or this week in particular, he's been referred to as Jake's dad. And that is our great friend, Chris Waterman. G'day, Chris.
G'day, guys. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you for joining us again, buddy. Now, is that right? Have you been rocking, Jake's dad this week?
It hasn't been this week. It's been quite a few years now. I'd walk into a cafe somewhere and order a coffee, and the person behind the counter goes, "Are you Jake's dad, are you?" So it's been happening for 4 or 5 years now.
Right. But even though you're a two-time premiership player for the Eagles, you know, Jake just gets all the attention.
Yeah, no, he certainly has in the last, well, this week he has. He's been front page everywhere, taken over from Harley.
Chris was here. We mentioned off air, though, he is a sort of a cult figure, and especially with that hairdo. You haven't had a say with that hairdo?
No, I certainly haven't. In fact, he actually got told to cut it off by some of the club, the ex-CEO, Trevor Nisbet, about 18 months ago, and he wasn't too happy about that because there was a bit of a cult following on one of the social media platforms. But he doesn't mean to do it. It's just the way it grows, so he just leaves it. So he's got a lot of his mates set up this little page somewhere, and he's got a couple thousand followers now, so I don't think he can do anything about it. He has to leave it now.
Now, how proud of you are, how proud of him are you after the game? I mean, that was up there with one of his best at the level, with 6 goals. You would have just been there with, grinning from ear to ear.
Yeah, it was. He's actually been pretty good all year, to be honest. And coming off the illness last year, it sort of set him back. It was a bit of a watershed moment for him because it was pretty scary there the first couple of weeks when he was in hospital. So he took off for a couple of holidays overseas and was meant to stay for 3 or 4 weeks. And after about 10 days, he rang up and said, "No, I'm heading home," just in case this flares up a bit. When he got home, he just thought, he got checked out again, everything was fine. He just said, it was about middle of October, late October, and he said, "Right, I'm starting now." And he began his own pre-season before they even started. So he was ready fit by the end of January to start playing. And he just kept going and motoring along, and he's got all his weight back on and probably got a bit stronger as he proved on the weekend. So that was the catalyst of where he's at the moment. He's just got a head start on everyone, and he's starting to reap the rewards.
And Chris, there's been sort of a heap of bad media coverage for the Eagles over the past 2 years. This was sort of a shining light, this game on the weekend?
Yeah, and I guess early in the morning, the Waffle team had a win, and they haven't won for a while either. And they beat last year's premiers at East Fremantle. So they fortunately have got, they had Dom Sheed, Liam Ryan and Gaffey and a few of those boys playing. And they had 14 or 15 AFL boys, which is still a very good win. East Fremantle are a very good team. So that sort of started the day. And then the inaugural squad of 87 boys were all back for the day. And they went into the rooms before the match, and Simo invited him to his pre-match speech, and he got pretty emotional because obviously he knows quite a few of them from the past. So he put it on them that these blokes played round one all those years ago and set the foundation for you blokes, so he had to do it proud. It was a pretty emotional time, so the boys went out, and the first 20 minutes, mind you, I was a little bit worried. They looked a bit in strife, but once they clicked in the gear, they never turned back and got the job done.
Have I just on the 87 sort of lineup and that early era, obviously, which you were a part of? I'm looking for cult figures there, maybe Carl Langdon or someone along those lines. Who was the sort of the leader of the bunch?
Well, Carl and I started together. We were 88. We were the second year intro, so we came in after that. It was pretty much the knots, really. He's had a big week, been on the front bar, and he's been over here, running around town. He hasn't changed too much odds and odds, but yeah, Roscoe Glendinning, Roscoe was the main man back then.
Yep.
And then the odds and odds, you had the big Russian, Alex Ashenko, and all those guys, and they were there for that first year or two. Then John Todd came in and cut them all and told them to bugger off. They all went to Brisbane and had a good time up there for a few years. So, But they're all still, they were thrilled because they really have a lot of them haven't been back to the club in 30 years, over 30 years. They've never been invited as a group. So Ron Alexander was there, the inaugural coach. There was one or two they couldn't get there. But Louis was down from up north. Danny Lally was there, of course. Guys I hadn't seen for 25 years. So it was pretty good for them. I know they were thrilled just to be part of it and be back at the club.
Oh, we do get a lot of ex-players on the show, and then that's one of the greatest things they talk about in being AFL players is the reunions and the people they meet.
Yeah, well, you don't have to be a premiership player. I mean, obviously that's the main ambition when you start out. But if you don't unfortunately not get one, you might still play great footy and achieve a fair bit, and to be still part of that club, you're pretty much a lifelong member of the club, really. So it's always great to have an area where you can catch up with your mates, and that's something that hasn't been a part of West Coast for one reason or another. But we've got an ex-player now as the CEO, and he's just turned it on his head, and basically emails are coming out everywhere about past players getting back involved. So he's got a lot of focus for former players, and it's not just the guys that he played in flags with, it's everyone. He wants them all to be part of it, because it's, you know, let's face it, West Coast is a very big football club. And it's hard to be one of the biggest in the land, so it became a business, too much of a business, and it is a big business. You've got to run it like a business, but they lost the traditions of what a football club really stands for.
Yeah, they did. No, and gather round, we saw the old West Coast jumper come out, and it was fantastic. I think have you still got the song has changed, and you got the banners up for the first time in years. So, I mean, the Eagles are getting back to those real fundamentals.
Yeah, well, that's what Pikey's brought back. It's just, you know, let's just do the crate banners and get some of the old jumpers out and play in them. And there was, you know, there's been a lot of banter about the old jumpers coming out and stuff like that. So it's been terrific, I reckon. And it's just a bit more of a family club feel about it. I mean, you can still run it like you have to as a business person and a CEO, but there are some people who haven't got their hand out. They don't want anything for it. They just like you to ring them up and say, oh, listen, mate, we're having a function. Come down, have a feed and a couple of beers with some of the old boys. Oh, great, I'll be there, you know. So that's how good footy clubs operate.
Yeah, they do. And they also operate with handing down jumper numbers to great players. So you've had the number 9 go from Cousins to Naranui to now on the back of a generational superstar that has just started his journey. Then you watch the game on the weekend. Tell us, what's it like watching Harley Reid live?
Yeah, I've watched the last two home games live. He's pretty good. He's and the beauty of it is, you know, people have been very anti the game plan, the sideways backwards thing, but you just got to give the ball to this kid because he's coming out of under 18s footy, and they don't play that style. They just go forward and try and kick goals. So when he gets it, he just takes off, and that breaks the game open. And of course, Jake and Jack and the boys down there reap the rewards because they're getting one-on-ones instead of 1v2 and 3 and finding it difficult to mark the ball. They can ply their forward craft and try and outmark their opposition just a one-on-one situation if the ball comes in quick. And it was going in quick a fair bit, so they put enormous pressure on him. Yeah, look, he's got I spoke to a couple of people during the week. He's just turned 19 today, I think, and come out of Tac Cup pretty much and hasn't really had a full pre-season. So give him two or three of those and, you know, good luck tackling him. It'll be like tackling a rhinoceros in a couple of years, I reckon, because he can't tackle him now. He's only, you know, he hasn't got really that much muscle on him. When he gets fit and gets stronger, good luck.
And I do always go back to the area you played in because it was such a great team. Who did you play with back then that you see a similar trait to Harley?
That's a difficult one. I mean, Dean Kent was that type of player. They're built differently. I mean, as much as Tommy looked like he was built like a stick, he was pretty pound for pound one of the strongest in the club. But he was very slim. He could win his own ball inside and somehow eke his way outside and then deliver it with precision. I guess as a left footer, Drew Banfield came in. He was the old warhorse, just the old sheepdog that would. Was a bit the same. He'd go in and find his own ball, scrap around, and come out and then hit targets up front as well. So that. But I think this bloke's sort of, you know, if I couldn't even compare him to Chris Judd, who did the same thing when he came over. They're different players, you know. This guy just stands out the way he's, if anything, he looks like a young Dusty Martin because that's sort of the similar way he plays.
Yes, and he performed very well on him, and he actually gave Dusty a don't argue a couple of times as well. So, I mean, he's just the king has passed down his crown.
Yeah, well, he gave Brady Grundy one last week, and he gave Big Nank one on the weekend as well. So he's not afraid to mix it with the big boys. No, he just puts it out there and says, "There you go, I'm off. Come and chase me." It's only going to be good viewing for the next 10 or 12 years, I would have thought.
You would have thought. Now, was it threatening for the Eagles to change their name to the Harley Reid Eagles, or were you saying we're going to keep the name?
It's been out of control, particularly with one paper over here. They just kept running with it. I haven't met Ali yet, but I just keep having jokes yet. But the people at the club said, look, this kid doesn't care about it. He's just straight down the line. If that's what they want to do, there's nothing I can't control it. They will do it. I'm not going to read the paper and pick it up. I just got to get the training and play footy. That's what I'm here to do, and that's the way he is. He just comes across as, who cares? I'm going to do what I've got to do. So good luck, good on him and for doing that. And, you know, it's... they'll never stop. They just want to. That's just the way they operate sometimes over here. They just get a bit one-dimensional. But now that the Eagles are looking, you know, more solid, the week before was better, and hopefully they can put up a good effort this week against Freo. I just think it'll be three tomorrow, and that's something they can slowly build off. It's not all about wins. It's just making sure you get good effort and get yourself in the game, really.
And I think for Harley too, it translates on the field. He's almost a little bit cheeky with some of the bigger boys in the way he does sort of either fend off, or he just gives that little nudge. If the ball goes out of bounds, he'll give a little nudge, and he looks like he's up for the physicality of it.
Well, the way he's playing, you would have thought he's not going out there worrying about what they're going to put in the paper about him or what photo they're going to put up there. It doesn't seem to faze him one bit. As I said, he's coming over to play footy. When he rolls out there, the only thing on his mind is getting his hands on that, and what happens outside of that is out of his control. But what he can control is the way he plays. If he continues down that line, then they can't make fun of him at all. One little bit. They can only talk in truth and put what reality is, that he's a very good young footballer, and start talking about him in that vein.
Yes, yes. And well, we'd also, this Saturday night, it's the derby. I mean, has the build-up been different this time around? I mean, it's normally pretty big, but what's it been like this week?
Well, I think it's a sellout already as of Monday Arvo. West Coast winning and Freo they've been very good this year. They've been, you know, very very unlucky the last 2 weeks. But they, you know, at the end of the day, they haven't got 4 points against two good teams in Carlton and Port. But they're in there and abouts, and you know they need 4 points to try and keep their top eight hopes alive. And you know, had they got one the last 2 weeks, you'd have been talking top four or five. So. They've got their defensive game going. JL's going to play a lot more defensive, which is good. That stops the opposition. They're just going to find something up forward to, young Joe Amos is only in his 25th game or something like that, and he's going to be a ripper as well. So they're just going to find a few more goals and keep strangling the opposition, and they'll go a fair way this year. But with West Coast got a bit of momentum, it should be a good game, and I think that's why it's a sellout, because it's looking like it could be really... really top game of footy.
Yeah, no, very timely win by the Eagles and return to form. Now, how many did you play in any derbies during your illustrious career, Chris?
So 5, 6, 7, 8. So I would have played in first 8, I reckon.
Yeah, well, are they any different to normal games or
not? It was early, but we'd just come off our second flag, so we flogged them early. And as the years went on, they got closer and closer and closer. And then I was in the coach's box the next couple of years, and Fremantle got them. So. It was a build-up, and they needed time to fill out, and because half their team were blokes straight out of the Waffle or what have you, and you know, we were 6, 7, 8-year beasts coming out of their second grand final win, so it was always going to be a daunting task for them early. But yeah, it certainly early on was a big build-up, and no matter where the teams were, it was always a big build-up, because you know, Freo always got to try and play well. They did sometimes hang in there for a bit, but we always got them. But yeah, it's no different than the Carlton Collingwood and the Hawthorn Essendon and the Power and Adelaide and, you know, the Q clash now and the Sydney teams. They just build and build no matter where they are on the ladder. It's just a good spectacle.
And another favourite son, or an old favourite son of West Coast, is just starting to get back on his feet, do the media and a bit more stuff like that. And I think he played in a bit of a game over there. Ben Cousins, he looks to be going well.
Yeah, Cousins going really well. He's out and about town and doing a few things. I think he's on the front bar tomorrow night, or tonight maybe, yeah. I'm not sure. He's doing a few things. He's got himself sorted out, and I think he's just taking it easy with not trying to throw himself at everything. But I think Adrian Barrett, Joe Reed, got him slowly into Channel 7, and once he realised he was he was good in the right frame of mind and not going backwards, only going forward. So he's looking good. Cousy's caught up with all the boys at a couple of functions, which he stayed away from for quite a few years, but he's back involved in that and getting back to his old teammates and his premiership team, so that's all good.
Very good. Now, Saturday night, the derby, another game, a big game, as you mentioned. Who wins it, mate?
Well, I'm hoping West Coast too, but I don't think... I'd be very surprised if it's outside 30 points. I just can't see one team falling over. They're both playing for a fair bit. West Coast got momentum, and Fremantle need to win. West Coast would be filthy if they got barreled in the end, and Fremantle will be filthy if they lost to us at the moment. So I just think it's, you know, somewhere inside 30. I mean, 5 goals is nothing in an AFL game these days. You can be 5 up, thinking your case, and all of a sudden, bang, 10 minutes later, it's game on. So inside 30 points, you'd have to think that there's going to be a result either way.
Oh, very good. No, it's going to be good fun. And, yeah, as we mentioned, it's a good return to form by the Eagles to make this one a fair bit interesting. Hey, Chris, we'll leave it there, mate. Thank you so much for giving us some of your time the other side of the country. And good luck on Saturday night, and good luck to Jake.
Thanks for having us on the show, guys.
Thanks, Chris.
You're a really good man. Chris Waterman there, the 2-time premiership player for the Eagles in the build-up to the derby.